What's new, Emily?
Well, I have some troubling news.
Troubling?
Troubling, not surprising, but our co-host Nate has been, he's missing.
He's not really.
He's in the woods.
He is hunting right now.
And I don't know where he is, and I haven't heard from him in minutes.
Hours, even.
Days.
So if Tuesday morning we still haven't heard from Nate.
Yeah, if y'all haven't seen him on the internets by Tuesday, we may have to take this episode down, do a much sadder episode.
That's dark. Way to take it so dark with the joke.
I'm sorry. Why don't you lighten it up? What's new with you?
This is the last episode we're doing before teal season. Woohoo! That was a heavy sigh.
All the wives just went.
Why has it got to be the wives?
Oh, that was very bad of me.
We're going to talk about women that hunt in a few minutes, and you just
I
went there.
I'm a sexist.
My gosh.
And a savage.
Anyway, classic bougie and ratchet.
And sexist. I shouldn't have said that, but for this wife, it's a heavy sigh.
It is a heavy sigh.
Although, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm quite enjoying. There is a period of time, we're in it right now, this particular week of every year, when the Facebook groups get really fun.
They get rowdy.
They get rowdy, and they're just like, they're all just like jonesing to go for the hunt, and they're all the guys are so funny and stupid.
There's a fever pitch
out
there.
There's a fever pitch, and it is the funniest.
Did you reinstall Facebook just for that?
I did, actually. Wow. Duck season.
What is actually new with you? Because I know losing Nate was not a real thing, because we haven't lost Nate.
Nate, can you hear us, Nate?
Nate knows where we are. He'll download this. He'll listen. It'll be fine.
Well, we did get some new reviews on Apple Podcasts.
People coming in clutch, because I have been pleading and begging.
Guys, if you haven't left us a review, would you please go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review? It's the lifeblood of our show. It's how other people find us. And you may just get your review read out loud here on an episode.
By you.
By me. Shall we jump in?
Are you the official review reader?
You could say that.
I don't know that Nate or I have ever read a review. Maybe very, very early on.
I do. I did read back through the reviews last night for some funsies. And I get...
That's what you did for fun.
I don't have... Well, it's the corona. We're in a pandemic. What else do you want me to do? I can't go to the mall. I can't go to a restaurant.
You've been having trouble sleeping and that didn't help you?
Well, they the commenters talk to me. I get called out way more than you or Nate.
That's because... Have you heard yourself?
Amazing.
Yes, that's why.
Anyway.
Reviews.
It's not true in this case, though. So the first review is called Conservation Gold by Jumper 6 Foot.
That's his name?
Yeah.
Okay.
5 stars. Excellent podcast that touches on all things Florida, including conservation, hunting, and fishing tips while presenting the material in an interesting way.
Interesting.
Thanks, Jumper 6 Foot. That's... a kind way to say that.
Interesting is substituted for train wreck.
Second review is most Florida podcast ever. 5 stars.
By can we stop there? Does it get worse? Like, can we just stop there?
By B. Woodham 1990.
Ooh.
If you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the outdoors, this is the podcast for you. Even more so if you're in Florida. I think he meant your with an apostrophe R-E. Oh, but
you have to correct their spelling?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's not what he meant, but whatever. Okay, next one. It's a good. It's a good.
Like it's Italian?
5 stars from Jupiter 934. Great podcast for your conservation-minded outdoorsmen and probably the best Florida fishing and hunting podcast. Florida's in all caps, so I felt like I need to yell it.
You put the emphasis there.
I did.
Wow. Just rolling with new reviews.
What a fantastic roundup. Guys.
We are flush.
Please leave us your funny, creative, or insulting reviews. We read them all on the show. It's my favorite thing.
It's my favorite thing, too.
You have to do it on Apple Podcasts, though. So if you're on an iPhone, it's the Purple Podcasts app, and it's kind of funny. Just go find our show and scroll and scroll and scroll down, and then you can tap the stars and leave a review.
You can do it from a computer, too, or you can do it from a... Like, you don't have to be on an Apple computer. You can do it from Windows... Like you can go to they Apple Podcasts.
What are you doing?
I'm just trying to help
get more
reviews.
I tied
that
up with a bow and you had to overcomplicate it. Gosh.
Speaking of segues. Do you know what season it is?
It's the season that I weep the most.
It's hurricane season, Emily. Oh. Did you forget that we do ads?
We didn't write it on the board. Oh, shoot.
It is hurricane season, and that means you should give a call to our good friend, Fletcher Hallett, Hallett Insurance, double the L's and double the T's. Make sure you get a run through of your policy, get a quote, get your policy updated with whatever your hurricane deductible is. That nothing I just said made very good sense, but you know what I mean, right?
Like, listen,
the spirits, pretend I said that better as an ad. Pretend that ad was better than it was.
Well, you just like, you get in the hole and then you can't stop digging. I can't. It's like you have a fit.
This is my life.
It's like you're a fit.
I'm like a snipe. When I jump up, I make the noise and keep going.
Listen, what I wanted to say is, I'm tying this in. If you don't follow Travis Thompson on TikTok, you should. Because what he did is he made a very funny video with an Adele song in it of like a flock of duck decoys in our backyard. And if, for example, a hurricane had come through while all the duck decoys were in our backyard, Fletcher would be able to help, like, getting you some money for your damaged hunting items because he's a hunter.
Really?
And a fisherman.
I don't know that he could cover duck decoys spread around your backyard.
Well, it's worth asking the question if you're a TikToker and a duck hunter.
Okay.
That's a very small Venn diagram of our listeners, I think, though.
They're growing by the day. 904-315-5812 or email fhallett at hallettins.com. Do it. Just do it.
It's you been can't so long. Say it like that.
Do it.
Hold on.
What are you doing with your cheeks?
I'm holding them down so I don't smile.
Don't smile. See the ad. This is the worst ad in the history of the world. It's 45 seconds long.
Double the.
She went to the zoo. She can't do the ad.
Hold on.
Come on. Let's hear it.
Double the L's and double the T's. Hallett for all your insurance needs.
Yeah. That was for Nate.
That was for Nate.
That was an honor.
Sorry, son of.
Oh my gosh. You know I'm not editing any of that.
Of course not.
Okay.
Just maybe the snort.
Listen, our board is so close. Like, I have to like step away from the mic to see up to the top of it.
Don't be a baby.
We are going through things on my desk. What is the first thing on my desk that we have, Emily?
Oh, the John Fury interview.
Listen.
From last week.
And you haven't listened to it yet.
I read the post where you hit on some of the highlights and I am dying to listen to it. Yeah. Don't derp me. I have to work for a living.
I know.
Some of us got to work.
I know. John Fury, what a fantastic interview that was. Like, we've got nothing but positive feedback. It was the perfect mix of storytelling and conservation, like a career spent doing Florida wildlife conservation, Florida fisheries management. He talks about his airboat wrecks. He talks about surveying, counting fish, and using Primacord. And when it doesn't explode, because they used to blow the fish up. They used to kill them with explosives.
That's great.
So they could count them. He talks about netting fish and stepping on alligators.
We should do that with the census.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Anyway, it's just a fantastic, fantastic interview. I was like so thrilled with how good it turned out. He has a little section at the end. We call it when a consumptive conservationist marries a puristic preservationist.
Oh,
yeah, it's a fantastic, like, it just covers the whole gamut of things you could ever want to talk about.
I feel like that could be a whole standalone podcast show on its own.
Sure.
Where we interview couples.
Oh, that would be fantastic. That's what we need is another podcast show.
Did John Fury ever moonlight as a wrestler?
No, he didn't.
I feel like that name is like calling to be a wrestler.
It's a great name. He's a banjo player.
The Fury.
He's a banjo player. He's a runner. God.
That would be the most intimidating thing if a wrestler walked into the ring playing that song. God,
could you get over the wrestler?
The banjo song from that movie.
What's next, Emily, on our list of things?
Oh, number two. So in the headlines this week, in the headlines this week, 1.1 million gallons of sewage spilled into the Manatee River in Bradenton. Yikes.
Saw this in the Bradenton Herald. I think I shared this in the Cast and Blast Florida group. I don't know. I share stuff and I share it in different places, so then I don't remember who talked about it where. But my favorite part of this article from the Bradenton Herald, and I'm going to make a little bit of light of this bad situation because what else are you going to do but laugh right now, is this quote. Because the Bradenton Herald in Bradenton, reached out to the Kentucky Division of Waterhead.
Of Waterhead?
The Kentucky
That's
Division.
That's not a real thing.
The head of the Kentucky Division of Water.
Okay.
They reached out to this guy in Kentucky to get a quote.
They reached out to the Kentucky Division to get a quote about the Florida
sewage spill. Correct.
Okay.
They didn't reach out to Florida DEP or
I mean, it makes sense to me.
Manatee County or, you know, any of the surrounding counties or anything else. And his quote was, This, I'm not making this up. If your water is a funny color, don't drink it.
Hear, hear. Also, don't eat the yellow snow.
Wow. So, man, we're just making a mess of the state, and no one wants to talk about it. And I feel
apparently because they had to call Kentucky for a quote.
That's what I'm saying. Like we're all getting kind of like numb to it at this point, to where you just shake your head when you see it every day, but we don't really do anything to change about it politically or voting. Like we have no interest really in changing it. We're not going to, it's tragedy of the commons playing out over and over. Speaking of which, what's the next thing on our list?
Oh, also in the headlines this week, there's been some erosion on the Wickiwatchee River. The docking kayakers are pulling their kayaks up and the vegetation's getting foobarred.
Rubbing the vegetation? Boy, that sounded. But that's what's happening. They're basically docking their kayaks, and there was one area, one little parcel of land that had lost 1,600 square feet of vegetation.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Which doesn't sound like a lot. 1,600 square feet, that's, you know, the size of our house. But
when you stretch it out along beach, though.
Right, it gets pretty far. And heard a lot of complaints about that from the boaters, that there's so many kayakers there, that they're bringing kayaks in and renting them for the day and like kind of overpounding the river, which is a thing that we've said repeatedly on the show. Florida's main, we talk about symptoms a lot, but Florida's main problem is overpopulation. We have too many people without the infrastructure for those people. And I want to carefully say that again. We have too many people without the infrastructure for those people. I'm not suggesting we should stop having people. I am suggesting we should fix the infrastructure that makes it sustainable for those people. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's like, I'm just sitting here thinking about solutions, and it's like, well, can they designate a kayak parking area and then rotate that throughout the years? It's not the same place getting hammered over and over, and reduce the erosion, or like, what's the fix? I don't know, but we just need some process to make sure that we're, or maybe shut it down so it's not active all year long. I don't know.
Want me to blow your mind?
Please.
Do you know what it costs to operate a kayak on public waters in Florida?
What?
$0. There is no registration fee. There is no consumptive fee for that.
Get out of here. No. Do they have to get nothing? Come on, Florida. Why are we our worst enemy?
Yup.
Everybody wants to come down here for the fun. Charge them for the fun. We don't even have a state tax. Ugh! Oh, my God.
So Emily is not advocating for shutting down a river, by the way. She's just talking off the top of her head about that. But
my therapy dog just crawled in my lap because she knew I was in distress.
She did know you were in distress. What do we have next on the list of things off my desk?
3, 4. This is a good one. So there was an article in Outside Magazine called Women Who Hunt. And it's just interesting because if you've listened to our show for a while and you listen to the Thursday show, the conversation show, Travis has really made a concerted effort like last year and this year to spotlight women in hunting and conservation and water quality and whatever else. And so tell them about the Ben O'Brien quote.
Yeah. So Ben O'Brien
in this article in with Meat Eater,
and I don't have the quote right in front of me, but he said essentially that he was 50 some odd episodes in before he realized he'd not had a woman on the show. And then he had the first one he had on was Jess Johnson, who's a great guest for his 61st episode. So it's like, we don't see it sometimes until it's plainly in front of us. But we've...
Kudos on him for trying to correct it, at least when
exactly,
he saw it.
Exactly.
But like Travis, and I'm just bragging because I'm proud, but like proactively, we've had 21 Cast and Blast conversation episodes this year. 8 of them were women,
mm-hmm.
which is 38%. And then when FWC had, what was that week called?
iCast week.
iCast week, yeah. We did shows with FWC 4-5 days that week, and 4 out of 5 of those days featured women. So that was 80% women in content that week. And I'm really proud of that.
Travis, not to mention you're on the show on the regular.
Yeah, but you know, what Cindy Stites is bringing versus what I'm bringing is just really different levels.
Don't sell yourself short because you're not afraid to ask the hard questions.
I'm not. And because I have no ego, I just want to learn and be interested. But there's a lot of women who are way more educated and have a lot more to bring to the table than I do. And I'm just really proud. I'm proud of our show. I'm proud of you for being so conscientious of it. And
thank you.
Giving the women a microphone.
I am proud of that too. But I do want to say that article was written by Rachel Levin,
mm-hmm.
and it, as someone that likes to write, like I enjoy writing, I struggle to write. Like it's a creative, like a torture almost sometimes, But that article by Rachel Levin is one of those things you read and you wish you had written.
Mm.
Like, you know, like you're a musician.
That's high praise from you.
You're a musician. Like you wish you had written a song, or you wish you'd like, that's an article that was like, wow, the way she wrote it was so good. It was such a good story and a good narrative. And I was impressed by that. And I don't pass that around very, very lightly.
Mm-hmm. And hey, by the way, if you're listening and you're not in Cast and Blast Florida, the group on Facebook, Travis shares articles like that when he finds them online throughout the week. So you can get some bonus content if you're in the group. You don't have to just wait for the Tuesday show or the Thursday show. Just something to throw out there.
No, I appreciate that. Last thing off my desk before we get into Keep and Release is
Duck Stamps for Teachers.
Did you see all these stamps?
I did. Why don't you remind our listeners about our program for this year?
We're doing a program called Teach Me Conservation.
Yep. We do a program every year. So this year is Teach Me Conservation, where we engage teachers in the community and abroad.
I don't know that we're going outside the country. Well, we're not engaging teachers abroad.
Well, outside of our community is abroad.
Yes.
For us.
We do. We
in
have
a
teachers,
pandemic.
We have teachers right now from, I think, 6 different counties enrolled.
It's the coolest.
So
they get to come out and hunt if they want to hunt. If they don't want to hunt, we don't have to have a gun on the boat. If they just want to learn about conservation and be out in nature, we're so excited to do that with them.
And I have a stack of duck stamps sitting here on my desk that I'm so proud of. It makes me happy every time I look at it.
Yeah, I'm going to explain that because people may not know what that means. Yeah, so during duck season, if you want to hunt ducks, you have to have a duck stamp that is signed. That's your, like, quote-unquote license to hunt. And for the teachers who are interested in hunting, we didn't want to pass that cost onto them. So our listeners, through the Facebook group, Cast and Blast Florida, the group on Facebook, they've donated money so that we could buy duck stamps for these teachers.
Yeah.
Which is the coolest. And that money goes toward.
It goes towards conservation.
Right.
Like every duck stamp, 98% of it has to go to conservation lands purchase. So $24.50 out of every $25.
Is that the Dingle Johnson?
No, it's not Dingle Johnson.
What is that
one? Ding Darling is part of who created the NWR program and the duck stamp program. He was the original artist of the duck stamp. I can see how
so
you could
close.
Get that. That was so close for you. But I got a stack of duck stamps here. We still need 4 more stamps. So if you want to help us out, that item is still up in our Cast and Blast Florida store. If you go to castandblastfl.com, click on the store, you can buy a duck stamp. As long as it's there, we still need them. I'll take it down when we don't need them anymore.
So cool of our listeners to do that.
And we're giving duck stamps to the teachers, even if they're not duck hunting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Every
teacher
that comes on us, we're going to tell them the duck stamp story and discuss why it's so important, what hunters are doing through licensing and why that matters in the conservation. Because we've had a couple that are not interested in hunting.
Right.
They're not against it. They're just not interested in doing it.
Hey,
they're not ready.
And that's totally cool with us.
But we got to start somewhere.
Yep.
And we're going to make sure they get a duck stamp when they leave that they can take back and show their kids and talk about it in the classroom. And so excited. We even have a 4th grade teacher that's going to do it. And you think, well, what's that 4th grader going to do? Well, that 4th grade teacher is interested in what she can learn and see to talk about with her kids, but she recruited from her school the forestry teacher. So we've got another teacher in there that actually really appreciates the idea of conservation and what's going on with it. So just really excited about how this is all kind of playing out. I'm as excited about this as I have been any program we've done, and I get excited about them every year.
Yeah, this one's just like really particularly special, I think, because of everything the teachers are going through this year as well with the pandemic and online learning, and we're just really excited to bring this to them.
All right, it is time for
Keep and Release.
Did you see how seamlessly we did that without Nate? It's uncomfortable when I stare deeply into his eyes this way.
I wish we were on video for what just happened.
Because she was not looking at me at all.
I
was just staring daggers
into
the side of her
head. His eyes
were
huge, like a weirdo.
Keep and Release brought to you by 2Fish Creative. For all your software solutions, 2Fish Creative should be your one-stop shop. TWO.FISH, Carrie Bible, longtime friend of the show, longtime listener, huge supporter of everything we're trying to do here. 2Fish Creative bringing you Keep and Release. If you need help solving a problem, and software can do it, technology can do it, your first call, your first email should be to info@2.fish, info@TWO.FISH. Emily, what is your keep?
Oh my gosh. So one of my mentors let me borrow this book called Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss, who was a master negotiator with the FBI.
Okay.
And teaches you how to negotiate.
A negotiator like a hostage situation?
Yeah.
Diffusing.
Yeah. But negotiation
a
is
stewardess.
Are you done?
Yes.
Negotiation is like so much bigger than just these FBI hostage situations. They teach courses about it at some of the top universities in the nation. Did you know this?
No.
I did not know this either. Anyway, this book is really, really interesting. Whether you're in sales, I mean, I think anybody could read it and be like really have some valuable skills. I actually used them on you the other night and you didn't know it.
On me?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What did you do to me?
So, well, you were stressed about something. I don't remember exactly what, because I don't
pay attention
care that much. But one of the tactics he uses is called it seems like, it sounds like, it looks like. And it's just a way to have the person you're in a conversation with know that you're really, truly hearing them and relating to them. And it like, it's as soon as I did it, like I let you vent for a second. And then I said, it seems like, it sounds like, it looks like. And I mirrored what you were saying back to you. And you calmed right down.
Wow.
And you were done with me. And I was like, oh, that worked really good.
Because I was done with you?
No, because it calmed you down and helped you think about it.
What is your keep? Is it the book?
It's the book.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying
you
to say.
You didn't get there.
I'm sorry. I'm really excited about it. So, the reason I found out about Chris Voss is because there's this mastermind course that keeps getting, I keep getting ads for on Facebook. I think a lot of people are actually seeing them.
I think our Facebook experiences are very different because I get cookware ads.
Wow.
Oh, also chicken skin potato chips.
Well, Facebook knows you're doing keto.
Yeah, there you go.
Anywho, I saw these mastermind classes and I really wanted to do them, but they're very expensive and somebody ended up having this book. Anyways, it's called Never Split the Difference, Negotiating as If Your Life Depended on It by Chris Voss. It's got some really fun anecdotes because he talks about actual negotiations he's been a part of and how they were successful and like why the rules of the college professors didn't really work in the real world. It's really, really fascinating.
Chris Voss with a V as in Victor.
V-O-S-S.
My keep is more a request than a keep, but we are every year around Christmas time, we do an episode called What I Want for Christmas. And it's basically the Cast and Blast Florida gift guide. And this year we are looking for a couple of ideas. So we're looking for you guys to help us out with the themes I'm calling by Florida. So anything that you think our listeners would be appealing to. No, would appeal to our listeners. That was not English what I used. Anything you think would appeal to our listeners, please let us know if it's a Florida shop, first off. And then if it is something that is somehow connected to conservation, let us know as well. And we may do two episodes if we have enough stuff. We may do one that is by Florida. We may do one that is by conservation. And then if it is something that you just, hey, this is an item that I think everybody should want. It's this bino harness because I know I'm going to get 700 of those. Send us that as well because we will try to do our What I Want for Christmas episode like we do every year. But something I've always loved growing up and just in general is gift guides. I just think they're the coolest because that's where you see some really neat stuff and you end up getting your father-in-law like, I don't know, metal skewers for his grill or like a laser thermometer for his grill or
pew pew.
Yeah, really cool grill gloves.
I can't stop thinking about the bino harness bra thing.
Oh my God.
Since you said it. I wish you wouldn't bring that up.
I'm trying not to. And I brought it up without Nate here.
I know.
So, okay. That is our keeps. What is your release, Emily? This is going to get crazy.
Listen.
Just don't tune out before mine. Come back for mine after this.
Listeners of the show, I just want you to know that I think about you all the time, even when I'm scrolling my Twitter feed trying to find some content for the show, which I know nothing about most of the things we talk about. There was an article from the dailymeal.com on what your state grilled the most of this summer. And I was like, oh, this sounds like something for the people, the Cast and Blast Army. So I looked at, I had Travis look up our top five listener states, which by the way.
Shocking.
Are.
It was shocking to me.
It was it?
The top two weren't, but the
top five. Yeah,
three,
the last
four, five
one's a kicker.
My mind.
Get ready. Top is Florida. Second is Georgia. Third is, do you want to guess?
You can't hear
Texas. Fourth is North Carolina. Fifth, California.
Wow.
What?
You know what? They know how to party.
In the city of Compton. Yeah. So anyway, I looked up those five states, what they grilled the most this summer. It was so disappointing.
Yeah. Cause she was going to come back and play a little game with us, right?
Yeah. But here was the results. Florida grilled salmon, Georgia grilled salmon, Texas grilled salmon, California grilled salmon, North Carolina grilled
shrimp. Can I tell you something? There's no way how did they source that data?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's baloney. That's another one of those clickbait articles.
No, it's
articles.
Salmon.
No, it's baloney, because I guarantee you there was more grilled baloney than there was salmon. I met some of these people. I'm saying I don't think they went to like Keystone Heights, Florida and did a survey of folks or Sebring or Avon Park or.
This is what you want to argue about? The validity of the data on my release for the data being bad?
Yes.
Are you being supportive?
I don't know what I'm being. I think we're agreeing with each other.
That's what I'm saying.
Are you mind messing with me with Chris Voss well, flip the difference thing?
It sounds like.
No. No, I think that's a great release because that's terrible. And there's no way grilled salmon was the top thing. And I'm disappointed in Florida if it was.
What would you expect Florida's number one to be, a Twinkie?
No, it would be. It's burgers or hot dogs.
A mermaid.
Or
crack pipe.
Or fish. Like, why aren't we grilling mahi-mahi?
Salmon is fish.
No, but salmon comes from like the Pacific Northwest or fish farm. It comes from Aldi. In our world, salmon comes from Aldi.
What's the fish that has the eyes on one side?
Come on, you get it. Let's get there. Come on. Let me help you out.
Is it a flounder?
It is a flounder.
Oh! I was thinking about flounders as salmon.
Do you know the difference between a flounder and a sole?
Do you know the difference between a flounder and your face?
No, I'm sorry. A winter flounder and a summer flounder. Do you know the difference?
I don't. Is this a joke?
No, it's a true thing. And I don't know the answer, but
oh.
I do know.
Oh!
It is the orientation of their eyes.
Get out of here, dude.
One is left-eyed and one is right-eyed.
That's not real.
It is real. I'll find out the answer for sure. Was that your entire release?
Yes.
Okay. My release is.
Here we go.
Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Because you know I have a no politics rule.
I do.
And I'm strict about that no politics rule.
He's so strict about it that there's so much content I have not been able to talk about on the show.
So she's angry.
I'm not angry. I'm just letting them know.
You're just disappointed.
I'm supporting what you just said. What is your release, Travis?
My release is Sportsman for insert your candidate's name here.
Oof.
Yeah. I'm breaking the rule that I'm never allowed to break or that no one's allowed to break. That's
only
the politics
you.
Rule.
Only you're allowed to break your own rule.
But I'm going to break it without being partisan in any way, shape, or form here. And my problem is, why do we have Sportsman for Biden? Why do we have Sportsman for Trump? And why, on God's green earth, are prominent names lending their names to those two platforms? Like 4% of Americans hunt. So right there, we are a thin little sliver of the country. Why are we going out and aligning ourselves in the most polarized of arenas to create a further division that's not going to get any of us what we want?
Yeah. I mean, it's like if we could align on issues versus candidates, it's one of the things that drives me nuts about like the vote of women. We could easily steer the country in whatever direction we wanted to if we could all align on issues and vote accordingly, but we can't because people are so dedicated to party.
And that's what's happened here is we very clearly, or it's out there in the water supply, so to speak. We have a candidate that is pro-gun, so Second Amendment, and we have a candidate that is pro-environment. And so how do you reconcile that if you're a sportsman that cares about both of those things greatly? And I think what really bothers me is now we've created this situation wherein a lot of prominent personalities from different NGOs have aligned themselves with these candidates. So now the leadership of that NGO is slanted that way. And I just feel like that's really, really, really irresponsible, or I get it.
Short-sighted.
It's short-sighted. I get it. The idea is, oh, I'm going to get to play a part in policy or shape policy for this candidate. I get the reasons you're doing it. I understand that. But what I'm saying is, as a leader, sometimes you've got to stand up and draw a line and say, I'm going to have to do it a little bit harder to get there. And I just don't see how this leads to better outcomes for hunters, particularly in the environment we live in today. And particularly when you boil it down to a single issue around sportsmen without acknowledging the totality of people, a thing we've talked about so many times. Like, people care about a lot of stuff, economics and education and defense and security. And man, it's just a bad look, and it irritates me.
It's complex.
It's so
it
complex.
It cannot be simplified into one tiny thing that swings your whole vote.
And I'm fine with any of those people being for Biden. I'm fine with any of those people being for Trump. I'm okay with that because I'm viewing them as the whole person.
Mm-hmm.
There's not, you can't just binary say everyone that votes for this person is a insert name here. But choosing an allegiance and wearing it publicly and tying it to hunting and fishing creates a division within hunting and fishing. So put the sign in your front yard. I'm fine with that. Fly the flag, do whatever you want to do. But when it comes to taking it out there, I wish we as an industry could step back and look at the big picture on this because we are playing a very short game. A very short game. And it's not going to end well. Because I got news for you. I don't think either candidate really cares.
They don't.
Like at the end of the day, I don't think either candidate really cares. They're going to give us some stuff and they're not going to give us some stuff. That's how it's going to work out. And I'm telling you, you could pick Joe Smith off the streets and run him for president and that's how it would go.
Yeah.
Right? It just, this is not about those two candidates. It's about, this is how it works.
Right.
So I got into a little bit of, a, I won't say a debate, but I thought a good discussion with that about that on social media last week. And at the crux of it was, I really wish, I think sportsmen want a pro-environment, pro-gun, pro-conservation, pro-hunting candidate. And I think we all say that and pay that lip service, but we don't really want that. And the reason we don't really want that is we all have jobs or families or needs, or we have these other things that are the whole part of us as people that override our conservation meter. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because if you don't have a good job, you can't afford to go hunting. And if you don't have health insurance, it's not safe to go hunting. And it's,
there's
a little bit of that Maslow's hierarchy of needs in there too.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like if you own a business, you want more people to come to your business to buy things so you can make more money.
Mm-hmm.
That's normal. At the same time, if you're on a government program for whatever reason, you need that government program so your kids can have milk. Like the way you're going to vote is dependent on things beyond whether you get to go to the dove field or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a hard sell for me. And I find it disappointing because politics these days anyway are so divisive, but to start dragging us into it and then selling the bill of goods of this is going to have a good outcome makes you sound silly to me. And I'm okay saying that.
So to be clear though, fellow outdoorsmen, you're fine with them saying whatever candidate is their preference, as long as they're not saying it's because I'm a sportsman and I believe something.
I'm saying trying to unite all sportsmen under either one of these flags is a bad idea.
Oh, so specifically the sportsmen for blank.
Yes.
Thing.
Why aren't sportsmen for sportsmen? Why aren't sportsmen for hunting? Why aren't sportsmen for fishing? Why aren't sportsmen for guns? Why aren't sportsmen for, like, why isn't there sportsmen for Florida? And if that happens to, in some occasions, align with Biden and some occasions align with Trump, why isn't that the way it works?
Again, if all the sportsmen would unite around an issue, sportsmen for Florida, then there's a whole group of people that Biden and Trump would need to court.
Correct.
It becomes a different game. You become the board the game is played on instead of just a player in the game.
Tell them I want to talk about game strategy so much. Like game theory 101, we keep playing dominated strategies.
Dude, that's what we should do our book club on.
We keep playing dominated strategies.
What's that book?
The Infinite Game.
The Infinite Game. Listeners. Oh, can I blow
just
this
announce
up?
It. Go ahead.
Travis and I have been talking about doing something for our Patreon subscribers, which Patreon, by the way, is a way you can support the show. If you want to become a patron, you can donate $3 a month or $8 a month to our show. It helps us cover hosting fees, equipment costs, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, go do that if you want to support the show. But for our patrons, we thought about doing some kind of virtual book club where we could really deep dive into some of these issues. And sometimes the books could be really fun and silly, but that book, what's it called?
The Infinite Game.
The Infinite Game.
It's by one Simon Sinek.
When I first, no. What's the book you had me read when I first
Oh, you're
me?
Talking about The Art of Possibility.
The Art of Possibility is a fantastic book. But The Infinite Game by Simon Sinek is really good as well. But just talking about game theory, I think that'd be so smart to educate our fellow outdoorsmen about that because it really helps them. We need more people that think about this than just you.
Well, and there are people out there thinking about it strategically. Mm-hmm. And there's people out there thinking about strategically that are on sportsmen for Biden or sportsmen for Trump. I get that. And I'm trying not to dog them in this conversation. But I am saying you're looking at the next move and you're not looking at the whole board.
Gotta be five moves ahead.
Right. And what has got us here is not going to get us there.
Yep.
And so if we are not careful, we're going to back ourselves into corners where we are irrelevant and divided to a point where, and it doesn't matter anymore what sportsman you're for.
Yeah.
Well, like what candidate you're for. Right. So I get it. It's a controversial topic and I'm okay with you disagreeing with me on it. Like I believe in debate and discussion. Like I just, this thing has been needling me because now it's becoming a thing that I'm seeing. I work really hard on my social media feeds to not make it an echo chamber.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing pretty equal distribution between these candidates from people I respect. And it's like, come on, man. Like at the end of the day, we're just going to get picked off.
Okay. I would also like to say, to be fair, there's not a great candidate this year to choose. So we're not trying to say that like one candidate is better than the other or anything. I just want to reiterate that.
No, absolutely not. And I don't think I talked about either one more than the other.
I mean, no disrespect to our president. Like, thank God I don't have that job. It's a hard job. I'm just saying. Oof.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my release. Sportsman for insert your candidate's name here is my release.
Mm. Blank name tags.
You have anything else that you want to discuss, that you want to add on? Are you done?
I would like to have a very long discussion about what we're going to do for Halloween this year.
No, we're not having that discussion with these candidates, with these listeners. All of these listeners are candidates.
Our constituency. Okay, well, if anybody wants to have that discussion, let's meet up on the Facebook.
Stacey Whittem wants to decorate for Halloween already. She's doing it. She's making it happen. Listeners are decorating for Halloween. They've approved it. It's moved forward.
Are we trick-or-treating? Are we having a party? Like, what is happening?
Why are you worried about this?
Because Halloween is my favorite.
It is your favorite.
I have been shopping for what I'm going to wear for Halloween for weeks.
No, you have not.
I have too.
Are you dressing as a hot dog?
I hadn't even thought of that. Such a good idea.
Please get us out of here.
Stay woke.